In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and it's really great to be with you. Really great to be with you today. So we're going to start off our conversation, as is our custom, by turning to Mary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. When we pray the Hail Holy Queen, also we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary, and who pondered the Word of God in her heart. That's right, she pondered the Word of God in her heart, meditating upon God's Word and assimilating it. Let's ask Mary to help us to be able to ponder the Bible, the Word of God in our heart as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual guide. Spiritual guide is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many names or titles, indicating his function or work within the church and within our own lives. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor, as well as our Consoler. The Holy Spirit is the sweet guest of our soul. We pray in the sequence for Pentecost. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier. We're all called to become saints, and the Holy Spirit, he's the agent of our conversion and sanctification. Holy Spirit is our interior master. We all have to be honest with the fact that we struggle in our prayer life. So the Holy Spirit, St. Paul in Romans chapter 8 says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's pray to the Holy Spirit and ask him to give us a lot of light, an interior fire of love to burn within our hearts, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Jerome, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. How true, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. The family that prays together stays together. So we always start off our conversation by praying together, praying to Mary, to the Holy Spirit, to the angels and saints, as a word of encouragement. I'd like to once again express the fact that I'll be praying for you today in the greatest of all prayers. The greatest of all prayers, my friends, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer. So when I celebrate my Mass this evening, I'll pray for you and I'll place you on the altar. So I lift up the host and chalice, I'll lift you up on high, that God will bless you most abundantly. These are my intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would be open, that we be open to the Holy Spirit, that we would be docile to the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Indeed, our sanctification depends in large part upon being docile and open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you can pray during the course of the day this short aspiration to the Holy Spirit and to Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray that all of us would carry out our responsibility as teachers. Of course, we as priests were called to pray and to preach to our people. That's our mission. Praying and preaching and teaching and reconciling. Trying to bring God to others and others to God. But you as parents also have the mission of being the primary teachers to your children. The most important thing is that you bring your children to God in this life as well as the life to come. This life as well as the life to come. And my third intention will be, I'd like to pray for the conversion of sinners. That's right, for the conversion of sinners. That means our hearts, the hearts of our children. But I think it's a good idea to pray in a special way for those who will die. Those who will die within the next few hours. And there are always people that are dying every day. The biggest fear are those who are dying having rejected God in their lives. That at the end that they would open up their hearts to receive God into their lives and beg for His mercy. because God's mercy is infinite. The worst of all sinners can become the greatest of all saints if they trust in God's infinite mercy. So let's pray for the conversion of deathbed sinners. So my friends, as always, we have a lot to cover today. There's always so much to cover and so little time that we have, but we'll try to maximize our time together. First thing I think worthy of comment and explanation would be a summary and revisiting of the saints that we celebrated yesterday. So the saints that we celebrate, that we celebrated yesterday, would be three archangels. And I invite all of you to cultivate greater devotion to the angels. I must have been, I say, maybe 8 years of age, living in the outskirts of the city of New York. And one day I was driving my bike, and I was going down the sidewalk of a busy street in West Nyack, New York. And I was moving pretty quick. I was about to arrive at the intersection, which was a four-way intersection with a lot of traffic and the cars moving pretty fast. Now, I was about, I'd say maybe about 50 feet away, I started to pump the brakes. But as I pumped the brakes, nothing happened. The brakes simply were not working. The more I pumped them, the less they worked, and I was getting close to that intersection, moving very rapidly in my bike. Then all of a sudden, as I was about to rush headlong into traffic, my bike just stopped. Now, I probably would have been hit by a car speeding by. It probably could have killed me. But that never happened. Now, you can try to give many explanations, but I honestly believe that that was the working of the angels, the working of my guardian angel. Of course, I cannot prove that scientifically, that was the reality, but I really believe that. That God allowed my guardian angel to save me from a serious accident, a disaster, a fatal accident that could have taken my life. How often has it happened in your life? Now, I'll give you another example. That you're driving on the freeway, and you're almost about to get into an accident, and nothing happens. You're spared of that accident. Could it be that many times in our lives that we've been spared from accidents and serious accidents through the intervention of God's holy angels, through the intervention of God's holy angels. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for His holy angels. So returning to the feast day that we celebrated yesterday, referring to the working of the angels in the world, in the church, and in our lives, it's one day during the year in which the church celebrates three archangels all at the same time. That day is September 29th. That's a day in which the church celebrates the Archangel Michael, the Archangel Gabriel, and the Archangel Raphael. Then October 2nd, we celebrate the feast day of the guardian angels. We should take into account and pray to the angels frequently, but especially in these few days where the church highlights the great importance of the angels and their role in the economy of salvation. So I mentioned that story that I really believe it was my guardian angel that saved me from disaster. What about these three angels? Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Michael we encounter in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in which Satan rebels against God. And God marshals forth Saint Michael the Archangel to his defense. Satan says, "I will not serve." And Michael says, "Who is like unto God?" So there was a battle in heaven, and Michael and the good angels prevailed, thereby casting a third of the stars of heaven into the eternal abyss of fire, which was hell, which was created in that moment. Pope Leo XIII who lived about 125 years ago, lived at the time of Saint Therese, whose feast day is tomorrow, he had a vision. And the vision that he had was, he seemed to see the smoke of Satan. That's right, he seemed to see the smoke of Satan was filling the church. Then he was inspired to write the prayer to Saint Michael that many of you know, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. And this prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel was prayed after Mass for many years, all the way up until the early 60s. And there are priests now that are introducing this prayer at the end of the Mass once again, because the world is going through real turmoil and the church itself is going through a lot of confusion also. So pray to Saint Michael the Archangel in your life, in your spiritual combat, because all of us are soldiers in the army of Jesus and Mary, and the battle can be very fierce at times. So get in the habit of praying to Saint Michael the Archangel and praying at least once a day the prayer of St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Then we have the Archangel St. Gabriel. We encounter him in the book of Daniel as well as in the first chapter of St. Luke. He appears to Zechariah, announcing to him that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a child. That child would be the great Saint John the Baptist. Zechariah doubted. And because of his doubt, he was chastised by being mute until his son would be born. The Archangel Saint Gabriel also was sent to the Blessed Virgin Mary in Nazareth and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you," announcing the good news of salvation, that God's only Son would be conceived in the womb of Mary and she would bring forth Jesus, our Savior. The Archangel Gabriel, proclaimed by Pope Paul VI, is the patron saint of modern communications. And I find that this specific role of his patronage is very important to me. I beg the Archangel Gabriel to help me because right now I'm on Facebook. Then I'm on YouTube. I have my own website. I've had it for more than 10 years. On my website, in both Spanish and English, I have various programs. I write usually a weekly blog that's posted. I record podcasts, as I'm doing right now. I'm a digital recorder. Right now I'm making a video which is live, which will be posted also on my website that you can see it later on. I write blog articles as well as I'm an author of books. And I'm a frequent guest on radio as well as TV at times. Right now in Spanish for El Sembrador, they're asking me to help them out more and more. So I find that part of my work as a priest in living out what Jesus said, go out to all nations, teaching them all that I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and behold, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Way in which I'm trying to implement that is by preaching the Word of God in season and outside of season. By my platform, by my homilies, by my conferences. But I want to beg more and more that the Holy Spirit would help me and the Archangel Gabriel would come to my aid so that I, like him, would always preach the Word of God with courage, with fortitude, with clarity, with conviction. So that God's name will be glorified and many souls will be saved. Finally, we have the Archangel Raphael. Now, Michael means who is like unto God. Gabriel means the power of God. Raphael means the medicine of God, or God heals. The medicine of God, or God heals. Raphael you can find in your Bible in the book of Tobit. The book of Tobit, which is a charming book. Charming book to read and to meditate and get to learn. The Archangel Raphael is sent by God to turn two terrible tragedies into glorious victories. The two tragedies. Tobias, a good man, got up from his meal to help out the poor, the suffering of this pandemic, and he would bury them. In the process of helping out his kinsmen, he lost his sight. Across the town is another serious tragedy, which Sarah, wanting to marry, seven of her prospect husbands are slain that wedding night by Asmodeus, the devil. I would call him the devil of lust, because most likely these men sought her more as an object of pleasure rather than as a loving wife and mother of their children. So God sent the Archangel Raphael to turn these two tragedies into glorious victories. In what way? Raphael comes on the scene and leads Tobit, the son of Tobias, to Sarah. An exorcism is done in the home. Sarah and Tobit marry. They pray before their wedding night, and God blesses them. So that tragedy was turned into a victory. Then Tobit returns with his new wife to his home to meet the blind father. The Archangel Raphael tells him to take the gall of the fish and to apply it to the eyes of his father, which he does. As soon as the fish gall is applied to the eyes of his father, something like scales fall from his eyes. He's able to see his son, his new wife. He's able to see the light of day and the glory of God's creation. So the Archangel Raphael turns these two tragedies into two glorious victories. The Archangel Raphael is the angelic patron saint of many things. Now, I think we should invite Raphael to be our companion, our daily companion. And for many ways, many intentions. First, the Archangel Raphael is the patron of travelers. Whenever we travel, let's invite him to come with us, that we'd have a safe trip. Let's ask him also to be our traveling companion on the highway to heaven. He's a patron of happy meetings because he brings Tobias to the home of his future wife. He's a patron of courtships through the courtship of Tobias and Sarah is very short, but how many young people choose the wrong person to be their future spouse. He's a patron of matrimony. Because a good courtship is going to lead to a wholesome, holy, happy, and permanent marriage. He's a patron saint of purity. He tells Tobias to burn the gall of the fish, and he expels the evil spirit Asmodeus, which would be the devil of lust. We live in a pornographic society today, and we all know that. We're bombarded by bad images right and left. So we should do all in our power to promote the good news of God's kingdom by trying to live out the beatitude, which we find in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God." Raphael is the patron saint of joy. These two tragedies, of course, brought upon the family great sadness. The loss of one's eyes and the loss of seven future spouses. What a cause for great sorrow and sadness. He's also known as the patron saint. He's a patron saint of eyesight. The old man recovered his sight because of the application of the fish oil to his eyes. Let us pray that God would bless our eyes through the Archangel Raphael, so that we in our life would see the presence of God in the beauty of nature, in the meditating upon the Bible, the Word of God, as well as we'd be able to see God's presence in the working of divine providence. Nothing happens by chance. You want to get me angry? Say, "Good luck, Father." I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in luck. I believe in divine providence. God orders all circumstances toward their proper end, which is honor and glory and the salvation of souls. Raphael is also the patron saint, I would say, of the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Because afterward they want to give him a gift, and he says, "I don't want any gifts. Just render God praise and thanksgiving. I am one of the angels that stand before the presence of God." Then he leaves their presence, never to be seen again. So the Archangel Raphael is the patron saint of many things. Of travelers, of courtships, of spouses, of marriage, of exorcisms, of purity, of eyesight, of happy meetings, and the patron of prayer, the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. How wonderful it is, my friends, to get to know the angels. Let's ask Saint Michael the Archangel to help us in our battle, our struggle for the salvation of our souls. Let's beg Saint Gabriel to give us the ability to communicate the Word of God in season and outside of season. And let's beg the Archangel Raphael to come to be with us, to walk with us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to support us, to help us on our highway to heaven. Saint Raphael, pray for us. So my friends, today we have another saint and we have readings. We're heading toward the latter part of the book of Job. Just a recap of this wonderful book of wisdom. Job is a holy man. Job is a man who's been blessed with many material blessings. But Satan puts Job to the test. And God gives him permission. So Satan ends by putting him to the test, by depriving Job of his animals, his sheep, his cattle, as well as those who are tending his animals. Then God allows a powerful wind from the desert to descend upon the house of his elderly son, thereby allowing the house to collapse, which his sons and his daughters were killed beneath the rubble of the house that collapsed because of the powerful wind. Job then loses his own health. He's filled with these scabs, sits on a dunghill. Then his so-called friends come and start to question him and basically point out that he has suffered this because he's probably committed some type of sin. Even his wife comes to nag and complain and even condemn him. So we have the words of Job, "Naked I came forth from my mother's womb, naked I returned to the earth. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We accept good things from the Lord. Why should we not accept bad?" In all this, Job did not sin, nor did he say anything against God. As the book moves on, however, Job is suffering so much. His suffering is so intense and so excruciating. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, he's suffering so much that Job even says, "God, I prefer to die. I prefer to die." And Job complains to God about his plight, about his suffering. He can't really seem to understand why is he suffering so much. Why is he suffering so much? Why does he have to suffer so much since he was always an innocent and a just man, a holy man? Why? And my friends, I'd like to apply this to our own lives. In this sense. In our own lives. We all go through certain times in our lives, stages in our lives, where we're suffering a lot. It might be a physical suffering. It might be an emotional suffering. It might be a loss of a loved one. It might be a separation. It might be assaulted with doubts, emotional upheavals, dryness in prayer. It can be many, many, many different types of sufferings. And maybe we don't understand why all of a sudden we're suffering so much in one way or another. Honestly, it's a good thing for us to come to terms with this with great sincerity. And for all of us to open up our hearts with humility, reverence, and trust. But we can sometimes ask the Lord, why, Lord, is this happening? Lord, I'm suffering so much. Lord, I've begged you for help, and it's almost as if I'm begging and I don't see any results. Lord, I feel like I'm walking in a dark tunnel. This dark, dense cloud seems to be clouding my vision. Lord, there doesn't seem to be any relief or any near relief at hand. Lord, the cross is very heavy upon my shoulders. Lord, come to my aid. Lord, I can't anymore. Lord, please help me. And I think, my friends, that's the type of prayer that we have to learn how to pray, taking the cue from the book of Job that we're reading and meditating the whole week. It's a prayer of great honesty. It's a prayer where the psalmist in Psalm 51 says, out of the depths I cry, Psalm 131. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let my supplications arrive at your ears. In a broken and humble heart, O Lord, you will not spurn. Psalm 51. This is a heart-rending prayer. A prayer of a broken heart. A prayer of someone who is in the dust. And God will come to the aid. God loves us. God will come to the aid of His children that suffer. He hears the supplication, the pleas, the cries of the poor. He will help you. Trust Him. Beg for the virtue of patience. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. Jesus says, by your patience you will save your souls. O Lord, a broken and humble heart you will not spurn. So that's one idea that I like to glean and expound upon from the book of Job. God allows Job to express himself very freely. And we ourselves should not be inhibited in any way from opening up our heart and speaking with humility, but great honesty and trust to the Lord, who hears the cries of the poor. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open to him. In the responsorial psalm, the antiphon is, "Guide me, Lord, guide me, Lord, along the everlasting way." So we want to ask the Lord to take us by the hand so that we can follow the narrow path. The narrow path of carrying the cross, knowing that the last word is victory. The gospel for today is that Jesus cries out to cities where he's carried out miracles. He says, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." In other words, what has happened is in these two cities, in Chorazin and Bethsaida, Jesus has carried out, he's carried out many signs and wonders, whereas in Tyre and Sidon he has not. So even though Jesus has carried out many miracles in Tyre and Sidon, in Chorazin and Bethsaida, still the people have not been converted. How can we apply this to our modern world? Well, over the past 3 years, even more, past 3.5 years, there has been a national, even worldwide pandemic that has influenced the whole world, resulting in many deaths, many sicknesses that are even lingering. And the pandemic is not over. There are still people that are being afflicted by the coronavirus or a variant of the coronavirus. I'd like to apply this to the gospel today. To Chorazin and Bethsaida, you who are my followers, you who follow us on social media, more than once have we explain that this pandemic that the whole world is suffering is sent from God. Despite the best efforts of scientists and chemists and physics and doctors and surgeons, the most capable minds in the world, this problem has not been resolved, nor will it be resolved in the near future. What God is really saying is that people have to turn to God. That's right. People have to turn to God. Only God can save us. Only God can save us. The name Jesus means Savior. He came to save us. So let us try to read in between the lines, read the signs of the times. Then Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever listens to me, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. Whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. So what is the Lord saying? The Lord is saying that He speaks. Jesus speaks to us in many ways. How is it that Christ speaks to us? He speaks to us through the Bible, which is truly the Word of God. God speaks to us also through the Magisterium. The Magisterium means the teaching office of the Church. God speaks to us through authentically approved church documents. God speaks to us also through what are? Excuse me. God speaks to us through His commandments. Jesus says, not all who say, Lord, 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 will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my heavenly Father. So God speaks to us through His commandments. God speaks to us also through His priests. God is also speaking to you right now through our conversation. God speaks to us also through the message that we receive in our perseverance talk every day. In the case of children, God speaks to children, and you have to tell your children this. God speaks to the children through their parents. That's right. God speaks to the parents. They are the lawful representatives of Christ here on earth. God also speaks to us through our conscience. So our conscience, when we do something wrong, we have a remorse of conscience. When we do something right, then our conscience experiences peace. God speaks to us also through our confessor. And God speaks to us also through our spiritual director. That's why Jesus says, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me, which would be the Eternal Father. So, my friends, the last thing I'd like to say today before I give you my final blessing is the following. We celebrate today a very important saint, related to the Word of God. And the name of this saint, related to the Word of God, his name is Saint Jerome. Saint Jerome. Saint Jerome is very important for the Church as well as for us, in that he spent many years reading, commenting, and translating the Bible. The fact that we can read the Bible in Spanish, Italian, French, and English in our own language. We have to attribute this to God, but also through the instrumentality of the great father of the church, Saint Jerome. It was Saint Jerome who translated the Bible from its original. He translated the Bible from the Greek and the Aramaic, or the Hebrew, from the Greek and the Aramaic into what is called the Vulgate. That is to say, translated into the Vulgate or the Latin. Then the Vulgate or the Latin would be translated into our own language. So we have to be eternally grateful that we can read our Bible, whatever language you prefer. We can read our Bible, the Word of God, and understand it, because of the hard work and effort of Saint Jerome. So we thank Saint Jerome for doing this hard work for us. The Second Vatican Council, the Dogmatic Constitution, De Verbum, quotes Saint Jerome with these words, these immortal words that we should memorize. Saint Jerome says, ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of Christ. So in imitation of Mary, let us meditate upon the Word of God in our hearts and reap an abundant harvest. May God bless you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.